Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, God bless you, and welcome to another God's Word to Man broadcast, a live broadcast where we discuss the Word, we present the Word for the people, the listeners. They teach, they preach, they encourage, uplift, and educate. That's what we do here on God's Word to Man. The brothers, the sisters, we are all born-again believers who love God and love doing the work of the Lord. I want to welcome you. Tonight is a very special night because tonight we're going to have the brothers come on, quite a few. I think maybe we'll have two to three, in addition to myself, to answer your Bible questions. That's right. Tonight is Bible question broadcast night. If you've ever had a burning question about a scripture, or if you've ever been stumped by that passage in the Bible, well, tonight is your night to call in and ask those questions. And being led by the Spirit, the brothers will do their very best to answer that question for you. Now, the number to do that is 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. We're going to have some guidelines and some rules here, all right? We want you to call in, and you can give your name if you'd like, and then ask your question. We won't allow any rebuttals or retorts or any pushback on certain things. You'll be able to ask your question, and then you'll be disconnected. And I don't want to do it like that, not to say that you can't express yourself, but it's a short broadcast, and we want to make sure that everyone gets an opportunity to call in and ask their question. And so since we have a couple of the brothers online today, I want to make sure that we're able to get everyone's questions answered. And I've already gotten some questions that I've taken from a few of the other broadcasts and people who have inquired to myself about these questions being answered. And so I've jotted those down already. And so we're going to get started. Again, this is God's Word to Man. I am Brother Manny, And we're going to go ahead and bring the brothers on right now. I want to start by bringing on Reverend Murphy. God bless you, Rev. How are you today?
God bless you, Brother Manny. I appreciate being on the broadcast and doing fine.
Amen. Thank you, Rev. I appreciate it. Going to go ahead and bring on Brother Tom. Brother Tom, are you there?
Yes, sir. God bless. God bless you, brothers, tonight. Appreciate being here.
God bless you.
God
too,
bless you, brother. Brother Tom. Appreciate it. Appreciate you. Brother Monty, are you there? Hello, Brother Monty, are you there? Well, I guess Brother Monty will call back there. And I want to bring on Brother Keevan. Brother Keevan, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you gentlemen tonight?
Blessed.
God bless
you,
brother. Doing well. And last but not least, we have a special edition tonight. We normally do his broadcast during the day, but we decided to add him to the broadcast this evening, Brother Daniel from Missouri. God bless you, Brother Daniel. Are you there?
Yes. Yes, brother. I sure am.
God bless you, Brother Daniel. Now, as I said, this is going to be open line Bible discussion tonight where people will be able to call in and ask their Bible question, the scripture, about something in the Bible, anything maybe religion related, they can ask, and we'll ask you guys to offer up an explanation or provide some insight. We're going to, keep the responses to at least 2 minutes. So if you can keep your response to 2 minutes, or if you would prefer to defer to someone else to answer the question, you can do so. I thank God for all of you joining us this evening. And so the number to call in is 323-870-3403. The lines are open. Before we get started, though, I'd like to ask Rev if you would please open us up with prayer so we can invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Eternal Heavenly Father, we just humbly come before your throne of grace, God, and we thank you for this discussion on this evening, Father God. We pray, God, that your presence will fill this line, Father God, that your presence will permeate every home that's listening. God, we thank you for the man of God who has made this platform possible, Heavenly Father. And God, we pray, God, that there will be no flesh that will glory in what's discussed on today, but everything that happens is said, God, that it will give you glory, praise, and honor, for it's due unto you and you alone. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to start here. Like I said, I've over time have received questions from people. I guess a little timid to ask these questions on the broadcast, but that's okay. I wrote them down, and so we'll discuss those, and I'll accept call-ins as we're in the discussion. As I said, if you're on hold, make sure that, you just be a little patient. I'm going to, release the questions in the order that they are received. So if you are on hold, just please be patient with us. I'm going to start with the first question. So it's a question that I received earlier today about Noah and the flood. There was a question as it pertains to God destroying the earth with water before, and he destroying the earth with fire in the future. So the question is posed, number one, what does the fire represent? Is it actual fire? Are we talking about fire coming down from heaven? Are we talking about nuclear war? Are we talking about, what is it that we're talking about when it talks about fire? And then the other question was, so if God destroyed everything except for Noah and his family, how were they able to replenish the earth? Is this a situation where God just started creating people again? Is this when he decided to create Adam and Eve? I think there's a little disconnect and some confusion as to how people then, from that point moving forward, were created. Are we all descendants just from Noah? That type of thing. I'm going to start with you, Rev. And as I said, you know, just as out of respect, let's all keep our responses to 2 minutes. Go ahead, Rev.
Hey, man, I'll defer the first half of that question to someone a little bit more knowledgeable on the subject than I am about the whether it's literal fire or figurative. I will attempt to answer the part about the flood, though. To my understanding of the scripture, when God started the world over with Noah's family, there's no scriptural proof that I can find, and I welcome somebody to definitely tell me, where he just created other people versus allowing people to be created through the process of sexual intercourse. And obviously there was incest that was allowed at that time in order for that to take place, because there was no one, to my knowledge, around other than Noah's family. And so, to my knowledge, the generations came through the lineage of the three sons. And so that is my response to that. And obviously Adam and Eve was pre-Noah, so the world did not, Adam and Eve didn't come to be after Noah. They were before Noah. So you know, the rainbow that we see after the rain is God's covenant with Noah that he would never destroy the world again through a flood. So that's the best answer that I have for the second half of that question.
Amen. Brother Kevin, you can choose an answer card or one of the questions or both of the questions.
Well, I'm in agreement with Rev as far as the descendants of Noah. We have his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and these are what makes up mankind upon the earth today. You know, as far as the figurative or literal fire that God said that he was going to destroy the earth with, I believe that it, you know, part of it is where he will destroy the earth through nuclear warfare. I believe Revelations, you know, I really don't have time to get into it, but I believe Revelation kind of spells that out a little bit, and how that, you know, one third of man will die within an hour. So, you know, I believe that, you know, God has many ways that he could do, but he said what would happen. And one thing about God's promises and the things that he's spoken, you know, he won't retract from it. So.
Amen. Thank you for that answer, Brother Kevin. Brother Tom, would you like to answer one question or both questions?
Well, yeah, I agree with the other brothers on the initial question. And adding to that initial question, I believe that there are some questions that we're going to have to ask God to clear up. And that's a reality. And I don't think enough preachers say that. There's some. But the second half of the question, to answering that, I agree with the brothers on the first half of the question. But I think there's more to it that God will have to answer. But if we believe the scripture in 2 Peter, the third chapter, when he said the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, when the heavens are going to pass away and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So if the question is, and the earth and his works are going to be burned up. So the question is whether or not, and in the book of Revelation it talks about, as our brother shared, and also in the book of Daniel, it talks about, I believe in Daniel 10, or somewhere around there in the book of Daniel. But if we believe it to be according to the scripture in 2 Peter 3:10, it's going to be a literal burning. It will be a literal fire, because I think that's what the question was, would it be a literal fire? It will be a literal fire according to 2 Peter 3:10. That will burn with fervent heat. Now, how that's going to come about in full detail, how God's going to cause it, Revelation gives us some insight, but and that verse is clear that it's going to be a literal burning of the earth with fire.
Amen. Amen. Brother Daniel, would you like to answer both questions or just one of the questions? And I can also repeat it if you need me to.
The Noah and his three sons, as the brethren have said, it just, they lived a long time. That was one thing that contributed to a lot of people being born. They lived hundreds of years. Noah lived, I think it was 300 years after the flood, 600 years before. And even Abraham lived 175 years. And after Sarah died, he had a lot of children, and so on. So that there was a time and opportunity for a lot of people to be born. But the question I'd like to really bring out is the one by fire, and that's exactly right. Every one of those brethren were spot on in their answers, and the brother quoted about Revelation 9:15-19 that one-third of mankind on earth will be killed by fire and smoke, and in 1 hour, 60 minutes, well, a nuclear bomb is fire. And Jesus said the fire in Luke 17:26-30, that fire would come out of the sky and destroy all the cities, the wicked cities, of course. And that's where the headquarters of wickedness is. And it's going to happen just like the Bible said. And there's no pre-tribulation rapture. It's after the tribulation. Jesus said he would come back. But then that's another subject. And I don't want to take up a lot of time. But the brethren are just exactly right. It's going to be literal fire, like the brother said. And it is going to destroy a big part of the earth of the wicked, because that's where the wickedness headquarters is in the cities. And Jesus said the cities, fire would come out of the sky, and that's where nuclear bombs and rockets, they come out of the sky. And they're just a giant ball of fire. And they just melt steel, and they destroy everything, and we've already used them. We used them on Nagasaki and Hiroshima and Japan, which ended the Second World War. But the Third World War is when it's going to be really bad, and we must be ready spiritually, naturally. Get ready, neighbor, because Jesus is coming soon, and these judgments are going to hit this world. They're already hitting it. It's already on. I mean, I don't have to reiterate all the tsunamis and the volcanoes and tornadoes and hurricanes that are killing people. And the Twin Towers, 3,000 almost, 2,997 be exact, and so on. And I'll let it go at that because I don't want to take up too much time. but
Amen.
It's coming. And those were beautiful answers by the brethren.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Daniel. Our next question is about the creation. It talks about the world was, it says in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 2, it says, that the world was without form and void. And so one question that I received is, how can God create something and it be formless and without void? What is it meant by saying that? Some people say they believe in a theory called the gap theory, in which there's something happened between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, us not knowing how much time elapsed in between those two scriptures. Some people say that, he just created the basic foundation and formed the earth and didn't create anything else yet until later on in the scripture. And so we just want to maybe shed some light on what happened exactly there in between those two scriptures, and why does it say it was formless and void and without any life at all. So I'm going to start with you, Rev. You can defer if you'd like, or I can reiterate the question. Just let me know. Go ahead, Rev.
All right. So basically what you said is, what is the thinking on creation, and why did God say it was without form and void?
Yeah.
So if I understand the creation, of course we understand that God spoke it into existence. Now, can we pinpoint when exactly everything was done? I don't think anyone can necessarily put a specific date on that, but we do understand that initially we have to pull in when Satan was evicted, because essentially, the way God created everything was, of course, anything God creates, he's going to create it in a perfect form. But I believe when Satan and a third of the angels were evicted from heaven, then they wreaked havoc upon the earth. Initially, one of the responsibilities of Adam and Eve was to come and return Earth to the way that God intentionally wanted to be. So they started, that was the original assignment. And so God created that which He wanted to be assigned, be created and done. And then He had Adam and Eve. He created them afterwards so that they could take care of it and really essentially put it back to the way it was originally supposed to be before Satan and his third of the angels kind of wreaked havoc. I do think, I'm open to any of the brothers, speaking up. I do think there was a period between God necessarily creating, in the beginning, was God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. And I think there was a time frame that may have existed between that and the initial thing being created. But again, I certainly would like to hear what the other brothers have to say as well.
Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. Brother Keevan?
Yep. Amen. When you talk about creation, I think there's a lot of different things that are bounced around. The Bible says that in the beginning, the earth was formless and void. And from that, we get those words, tohu in the Hebrew, tohu and bohu. The Bible says that when God created, darkness was upon the deep. And I think a lot of people take that as literal darkness. Darkness is the biblical meaning ignorance. That's why, you know, the Bible calls him the Prince of Darkness, because his power comes from our ignorance. That's where the enemy's power comes from. So in the beginning, when God created things and he spoke them into being, they didn't know their purpose, their role. If when he spoke, you know, the waters and the waters, the moon, the, you know, and all the creation into being. So the Bible said that he called for light. He said, "Let there be light." That light, word light, means understanding. It means knowledge, or the understanding. So when God said, "Let there be light," that placed everything that we see, that we currently see. You know, the moon knows its place. The sun knows its place. The rivers, the ocean, you know, and all of God's creation had a purpose then. So when he created the earth and he put man on it, you know, I always tell people, if you want to know God's mind now, go back and look at what he first said, because he doesn't change. So Genesis kind of gives us a guide of, you know, what it is that, you know, and our purpose. And he put man on the earth to have dominion and to subdue this earth. Now, from the beginning, what did he give us? Or what did he give us? He gave us sovereign rulership through his king, through his kingdom. His kingdom or his domain, the king's domain. And but he also gave us a very powerful tool to rule and to reign with, that I think oftentimes we have failed to use. But this is what God gave us from the beginning, and it is the ability to speak. Now, once we were born again, I always say we were regenerated. We were regened, and the Bible says that, you know, we are new creatures in Christ. The Bible said that he was giving us to be a partaker of his same divine nature. So that divine nature, or him from the beginning, how did creation come into being? How did creation understand and know its purpose? Well, God didn't have to do anything. The Bible says that it calls the tongue. It said life and death is in the power of the tongue. So when God spoke, that word tongue comes from the Hebrew word yad, which means a hand or creative force that is behind it. So what we currently see is what God spoke from the beginning, and this is what he purposed. Now, earth, since it's man's domain, God will not intervene in earth's affairs because he had given earth to man. So when man So what happens on earth is 100% man's responsibility. You know, people blame God for war. They blame God for poverty. They blame God for all of these.
I'm sorry, brother. I knew you was going to get going. But that's a little sorry. Past the 2 minutes, brother.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But I knew you was going to get going on that, because that's something you studied deeply. So, Brother Tom. I'll rephrase.
Well, I'm gonna try and take 30 seconds. Go ahead. Oh, you got a new question?
No. I if you need me to repose the same question, I was gonna do so. But if you don't need it, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I'm gonna try and be very short. This is a deep study where you get into the pre-Adamite. There's teaching about the pre-Adamite world, and between Genesis 1:1-2, it is widely believed among theologians that something happened. And Jesus says something interesting in Luke 10:18 when he says, "I beheld as Satan fell from heaven as lightning." And I personally believe Jesus was on a throne in heaven when it happened. We have to realize that when the earth was created, there was no time. When God created it, there was no time. He made it in eternity. And when you study that pre-Adamite thing, that something that happened that rocked the earth, that left it void and darkness upon the face of the deep, our brother went into it a little bit. And so Satan is amazing that when we see Eve who falls to the serpent, the Bible does not give us a depiction of Satan's fall at that time. We read later about his fall. And in Luke 10:18, Jesus said he watched Satan's fall from heaven. And I believe that his fall happened long before the creation of man. So, but that's a deep study that will take you past 2 minutes. And that's my comment.
Amen. Brother Daniel, can you explain to us what happened in 2 minutes between Genesis 1 and Genesis 1:1-2?
Yes, there is a point there. The understanding comes by understanding that God's plan of the ages. My father, who studied the Bible all his life, started preaching when he was 7 till he was 78 for 70 years. Prayed for 10 years to get an understanding along these lines about heaven, hell, and the fall of Satan and all. And God took him into a vision for 3 hours and showed him from the beginning. There are 8 ages. That's the key. 8 ages. And there's a cataclysmic physical cataclysm between each age. They descended. People got worse and worse till the Jews killed their own God and nailed him on a cross. And then there was a great earthquake and darkness and all. And now we're in the age, they call it of grace, or the church age, which is a good name for it. And we're ascending and being restored. All things are going to be restored, as the Bible says. But the key is that the ages, and then the flood changed everything, and so on, right on down to Christ, and now we're in the church age, probably be the best name for it. And then there's going to be these great cataclysms that's already been discussed about the fire destroying the earth, a big part of it, and changing everything, because it's going to, with all the big city destroyed and the intermonetary system destroyed, you know, and it won't be run by satellites and computers. It'll be a totally different age, and then the millennium will break forth when Christ sets up himself as king. But we're in an overlapping period between the two ages right now, and that's what's going on right now. Is like it was in John the Baptist and Jesus' day. It was 33 years of an overlapping period where the law and then grace came in through Christ, and there was an overlapping period back then when Christ kept the law, and that was the end of it when he died and resurrected. And now we're in an overlapping period. But once a person understands the 8 ages and that there's a cataclysmic, physical cataclysm between each age, so we're in the age of the church, and we are now. Then the next stage, which will be here in its completeness when Christ returns to earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then there's another cataclysm. Actually, the world will be destroyed by fire at the end. That's another fire that will come. But right now, we're in the church age, and God is pouring out his spirit on whoever is open to it. There's a church in Seoul, Korea, has over a million active members. And it's called the Full Gospel Church of Seoul, Korea. Million members.
Amen.
Think about that, neighbor.
Brother Daniel, in Brazil, there's
a church with 250,000 spirit-filled real Christians.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to have to cut you off there, Brother Daniel. I apologize for that, but I knew some of these questions, it takes more than 2 minutes, and I understand that, but we have to get to the next question because it's a very important one. It's a big one, and I need everyone to be able to answer it. And one of the questions that I get all the time that is very difficult to explain, and some person even asked me to explain it without the Bible. Some of these questions they ask to be explained without the Bible, and it's very difficult. In many passages in the New Testament, Jesus says that his Father is greater than him. And then in some passages, he says that his Father and he are one. And so many people get this mixed up. There's some churches that believe they're all one. There's some churches that even teach that three different separate gods that have the same power. There's some people that believe that Jesus is God's son and that he has an origin or a beginning or that he was created. And so how can we explain this, Jesus and the Father being one, one God and the Holy Spirit, all one God? I want to start with you, Rev.
Well, God is a spirit. Jesus is the manifested physical being of God. And, of course, we have the Holy Spirit. So we got to take each statement according to the context and the audience that Jesus was talking to at the time. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The scripture talks about Jesus saying he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so these three who make up one are equal. But for the purpose of his explanation why he was here on earth, Jesus was limited because, again, in his physical form here on earth, Jesus couldn't be everywhere at the same time. So in that sense, he was not equivalent to God, but only in that sense. Also, when Jesus said that in the New Testament, when he talked to the disciples, he said, I have to leave, but I'm going to send one who is greater. Well, the Holy Spirit wasn't necessarily greater than him in that sense, but what he was saying was it was going to be a better benefit to us for the Holy Spirit to be here because, again, while Jesus was on earth, he could not be everywhere at the same time. But the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at the same time. So when we look at Scripture, we're not afforded the luxury of being able to just read it and make a blank statement without understanding the context of what Jesus is saying against why he is actually saying it and what audience is he explaining it to. Those are some reasonings that have to be considered when we're understanding, because there are no contradictions in the Bible. While there may be tensions, things that we may say, well, it looks like this scripture says this, but this other scripture may say that, and it's hard to draw clarity. It is clear in the scripture that in this totality that God, they're all one. So when we get to heaven, we will not necessarily see a physical God. We will see Jesus on the right hand of the throne. God is a spirit. And so, that would be my explanation of that.
Amen. Thank you, Rev. Brother Keevan?
Amen. I believe that, the Bible speaks of God and Jesus being the Word of God and being manifest in physical form. So he was the thought or the idea of God to be, from what he said from the beginning, let us make man and let him have dominion on earth. In order for him to be legal as God on earth, he had to have what was a physical body in order to be legal. We know right now that if we die, we're illegal here on earth. So in order for him to be legal, he had to take on that form of the flesh. The Bible said he was born of a woman. That's why when the demon saw him, they cried out like, what are you doing here? You're illegal. How did you get here?
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
They knew, but he said, "Oh no, I'm legal." He said, "You know, so you know, I'm trying to be brief as possible, but with him being the word or the idea of God, and after Jesus ascended, he said, "I was not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you, but I'm going to send back my spirit, and he's going to live in, he's going to lead you and to guide you." So he didn't leave us, just leave us destitute and just leave us alone. He sent back his spirit, which was the Bible said that, I believe it's in Romans, the 14th chapter, where it talks about the culture of the kingdom of God, joy, peace, righteousness, what? In the Holy Spirit. So when he ascended, the Bible said he breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive." He told them to receive. So we know that "re" is a prefix and "steve" means to possess. So they received it again. So I think there's a lot to, it's a lot to cover on this topic, so I'm just going to cut it off.
Amen.
Thank you for that, Brother Kevin. Fellas, I know it's difficult to stay within that 2 minutes. These are very broad-reaching questions, but they're questions that we get all the time nonetheless, and people just expect you to be able to answer them and give them clarity. And I just want to thank you guys for even attempting to do it in 2 minutes. Brother Tom, can you reconcile this Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost being the same, one God in three persons?
Yep, I can rectify it in three letters, DNA. I'm done.
Amen.
Okay. Are you done for real, or did you want to expound a little bit?
No, I'm dead serious. I'm done. DNA. The Holy,
Amen.
Our brother's already expounded, and I'm going to say DNA.
Amen. Amen. Drop the
mic. Amen, Brother Tom. Amen, Brother Tom. Brother Daniel, would you like to add and answer that question? How can we reconcile Christ being part of three, him and his Father being one, but Jesus saying oftentimes that his Father is greater than him? Go ahead, brother.
Yes, bless your heart. Well, while Christ was a man as well as God, 100% man and 100% God, but he limited himself, the Bible says. So while he walked on earth, the devil tried to get him to use his God powers, but he never did. He used the Holy Ghost, same Holy Ghost we can. Sure, he walked on the water. So did Peter. Sure, he raised the dead. So did Paul. So did Peter. And ever since, God has used men to do the miracles Christ did. But while he was here for 33 and a half years, he lived here as a human, even though he was God in the flesh. And when he referred to his, sometimes he was talking about his human part, sometimes he was talking about his God part. And when he talked about his God part, before Abraham was, I am, and they took up stones, to kill him, because thou being a man makest thyself God. Well, he was God in the flesh. But in the beginning, It says Christ created all things, Colossians 1, 16 through 20. So he was a creator, and he is just as much God as the Father, but yet they're separate. They're two beings, but they are a triune entity of God. So he's three manifestations of God. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. That was hatched up by the Catholic Church because it carries the thought of three gods, and that is a confusion. There's only one God with three manifestations. And they'll say the Trinityites will say, well, at his baptism, there was the Son of God, and the dove came down. That was the Holy Ghost, and the Father spoke out of heaven. Well, that's just three manifestations again. And so it's not hard to understand if we can get rid of the traditions that we've been taught about being three gods. There's only one God with three manifestations. And to me, that's easy. That's simple. It's not that hard if we eliminate all the ideas of man that are mixed up in it and realize that Jesus is a creator. He's not a number two God. He is God just as much as the Father is God, just as much as the Holy Ghost is God. They're just different ways of manifesting God. And the Father sits on the throne, but Jesus sits, it's a two-seated throne. Jesus sits at his right hand, the Bible says twice. And so that if we could understand that, it's not that hard. It's men that add their ideas and mulligate it and muddy the water to make it difficult. But Jesus is the Creator God. He is God Almighty, the Bible even says in Revelations 1:8. And so he's just as much God as the Father is God, but he's a different manifestation. He has a body that is you can see and touch and feel, and because he's God, he could create himself, you might say, or be in 101 different places and yet all be Jesus and all be God. How he does that, well, I don't know. He's God. He can do anything. There's a million and one things I don't know. But God is God, and he always will be God, the little song says, and I kind of go along with that. But at any rate, when
Amen.
We get to heaven, we'll see, you know, Jesus. We'll see the Father, and we'll worship him. The Holy Spirit is here on earth as a manifestation, but it's God's Spirit. It's the same like the Father. You can't separate them. The Holy Spirit is God too, and he moved on the waters, you know, and all the Bible says, Genesis 1 and 2, first chapter, second chapter, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to be here on earth to help us and to be our helper,
Amen.
For which I'm thankful. Well, I don't know if that helped anybody, but it helps me. It's not confusion to me, but it's the ideas of men that have confused things, I think. Don't you, Brother Manuel?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Daniel. I appreciate that. And you're right. You're absolutely right, 100%. I'm going to move on to the next question. It's the next to last question. And we haven't had anybody call in. But remember, folks, if you're listening, you want to call in, you have a question, just dial 323-870-3403. Our next question is posed, if God knows all things from the beginning to the end, then why create the devil in the first place? If God knows all things from beginning to end, then why create the devil in the first place? Rev Murphy, can you tackle that? Or remember, you can also defer. Go ahead, Rev.
Amen. No need to defer. It's a very simple answer. And let's start with, it's not a question of if God knows all things. He knows all things. But God is not only sovereign, But he it will never be said. It will never be said that nobody had a choice. Everybody had a choice. Satan had a choice. He didn't have to rebel. He chose to. The third of the angels, they had a choice. Everybody on earth, they all have choices. So that's it. Somebody else can have my other minute and 30 seconds.
Amen. Brother Kevin, can you explain why if God, because God knows the beginning from the end, he created the devil anyway. And we've had a lot of people talk about this in the aspect of there's a lot of killing and murder and all the bad stuff that happens in the world because of the devil. Can you just expound on that for us, please?
Well, Rev said, you know, it's a matter of choice. And God, being a loving God, he gave us choices. And him creating the devil or Lucifer, as he was referred to from the beginning, had a purpose. And he turned from that. And he also had a choice. And, you know, when we talk about people dying and we talk about hell and we talk about God's creation going to hell, well, the Bible says that that wasn't his initial purpose for man. It was created for Lucifer and the ones that chose to follow him. So it is definitely a matter of choice because it wasn't God's pre-planned purpose for man. But since the fall of man and Adam deciding to follow after another voice or another idea, we should be very thankful to God for sending his son, as I said before, legally born of a woman having flesh so that his sacrifice would be sufficient so that we could be redeemed and him to come back and give us what he desired for us to have. And that's a chance at eternal life with him.
Amen. Amen. Brother Tom.
Woo! My Lord. Okay. So this is what the Bible calls the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. And the reason why it calls it a mystery of iniquity is because simply we don't know the root of where Satan, who was created as a head archangel, everything we know about the scripture teaches us that when it comes to angels, the angels were not made like man. Man was made with a will. There's nothing scripturally that supports angels being made with wills. Part of this may be opinion, but I haven't found anything scripturally that agrees with angels being made with will. So the mystery of iniquity comes, which is a question that I believe God himself has to answer. I don't believe we can answer that question. God is a sovereign God. And the reality is that where Satan got the root of sin, where he decided in his heart, according to Isaiah, to lift himself up to be like God, is that Isaiah 14 or something? Where he decided in himself to have pride, and where that seed set in his heart, that is what the Bible calls, I believe it's in 2 Thessalonians, the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. It's the mystery of iniquity, I believe. I believe it's there in 2 Thessalonians. So that's a question that is weighted that I'm not going to pretend I have an answer to other than to say that's one of the things that by and by the Lord is going to have to reveal to us.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tom. Brother Daniel, would you like to try to answer this question?
Well, yes, thank you. The brethren have been hitting it right on the head. The question was partly an error. God didn't create the devil. He created, as the brother said, Lucifer, the shining one, and he was the head archangel, evidently, and a third of the angels, the Bible says, fell with him. And but God created us with a choice, like the brother said. That was the reason God allowed it to happen. He didn't want robots. The angels had to make a choice. Adam and Eve had to make a choice, and we have to make a choice. So in order to be a choice, they had to be both good and bad, righteousness and evil, disobedience and obedience. And so that's why the Lord allowed it, so that we could have a choice. We're made, as they call it, free moral agents, and that's right. We make a choice in order to be saved, in order to miss hell and make heaven our eternal home. And we have to make that choice and stay with it once we make it. And it's as simple as that. God wanted people, just like who on earth would have want children to serve them because they were robots and didn't know any better and were just automatons. But God wanted us. He wanted children that loved him because they wanted to. And so he allowed it. He didn't directly create it, but he allowed it to happen. And but he provided ahead of time. He knew it was going to happen. So he provided the plan of salvation for Christ to come and die on the cross, so that he took the sins of the world, as John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," which takes away the sin of the world on himself. And so now, by God doing that, by God's mercy and grace, we can accept that in our heart and believe in God and repent and accept Christ's sacrifice in our stead, and we can go to heaven and live with Jesus for eternity, because Jesus loves us and he wants us to. And so he provided a way that we could make that choice and live with the Lord, live with God in heaven forever. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Daniel. Appreciate that. Well, I've come to our final question of the evening. And as I said, there's still time. If you want to call in and pose your question, you can do so, 323-870-3403. Last question is about Christianity as a religion. There are those who say that Christianity is a fairly young religion as compared to all the other religions. This comes from the thinking that the world is older than what many Christians say, that the earth is billions of years old, and that that some of these other religions have been around for thousands of years. And so how can we then say that Christianity is the true religion when there are religions older than Christianity? Some may say that it's a religion that was handed down to slaves during slavery, when you know, a lot of large part of Africa was taken over by occupiers. There are some that say, you know, it is a religion that enslaves the mind of people who don't know any better, who don't know about their heritage and their lineage and their ancestors. I know specifically as it pertains to African Americans, a lot of people that say that we were given this religion, and it is not a true religion, that Jesus was not God, he was just a man, and that the religion is very young. How can we then, well, I guess the question is, can we talk about the differences in the religions and why Christianity is the true religion. I want to start with you, Rev.
So, you know, no matter what we say on this line, it's all based in faith. And it's faith because it's really difficult to get people who believe what they want to believe to stop believing it, even if you show them some facts. So for the person that would say that the white man gave us Christianity, I would say to them, then how do we find one of the original first churches in Ethiopia? So if you really study Christianity, to me it's more than a religion. It's more of a standard or a way of life. The word Christian means to be a follower of Christ, to live as Christ lived, to take on the characteristics of Christ. And no matter who may have gave a group of people a particular religion, if that's in fact the case, a person who studied the Bible would know that even if slave owners gave it to the slaves, that they use scripture out of context to be oppressive, because when you really study the scripture, while it does talk about slavery, it does not talk about slavery in the form in which we endured in the United States. The Bible is full of hope. It's full of accountability. And I don't believe any person who would hate African Americans would want to give them hope or give them the Bible, because the Bible gives them exactly not only hope, but it gives them a understanding that God is going to exact vengeance on those who mistreat his people. So to me, if you're going to be a part of anything, you need to learn how to study it and know it for yourself and develop a personal relationship so that people can't misquote the scripture. People can't take out certain verses to use it to oppress anybody. But again, like I said, it's all based in faith. But when you study that Bible, you'll find out things that will dispel all the myths that the Muslims believe and other religions. It's just anti, how would I say, false religion. So, you know, that's my take.
Amen. Brother Kevin? Brother Kevin, are you there? Amen. Okay, we'll come back to Brother Kevin. Brother Tom, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
So, I've heard this a lot, you know. People saying that, you know, you're always talking about Jesus this and Jesus that. Christianity is not even the oldest religion, you know. And oftentimes I ask them, what does that have to do with anything? You know, I always come back to the fact that, you know, you could talk about Buddhism, you could talk about Hinduism, Islam, but you got to do something with the sin at the end of the day. And that's what I tell people, you know, let's talk about the sin, because that's what separates us from God. So can you expound on that, why Christianity is important and what it means, and why is it, you know, different from, as other people say, just you know, a religion that the white man gave us?
Well, first of all, amongst the demographic of Christianity, African and or black people, although they make up large numbers in Ethiopia, as our brother said, we don't even tip the scale compared to other demographics of Christians around the world. Are somewhere around 2.18 billion Christians around the world, something to that nature. One thing we know about it is that there's a reason why the manifestation of the Christian faith has absolutely changed the world. We've never seen anything like this. We've seen and witnessed miracles all over the world. We've seen revivals. We've seen Azusa happen here in America. We've seen in the late 1800s in Dutchess in France. We've seen the Holy Spirit fall there. We've seen in the 1600s, we've seen the Holy Spirit fall all over Africa. And the reality is that God has proven his word to be true. You can search the Bible, and Numbers 23 and 18, God is where it says, God is not a man and he should lie, neither the son of man and he should have to repent. And we can search Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not come back into the void. It will prosper. It's going to prosper where unto he sent it. We have to understand that the Bible is a book that has truly revealed itself to be total truth. There's no other truth from a religious standpoint that has revealed itself to be such as the Bible. And so we see the word of God continuing to fulfill itself day by day by day by day. And if I encourage people who don't believe the word of God to read one chapter of the Bible, and that's Matthew, the 24th chapter, everything that Jesus said was going to come to pass, has come to pass, and there's some yet to come to pass. So the word of God continues to fulfill itself, and that's how we can stand on it and know that it's truth, because it hasn't lied to us yet. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Brother Daniel?
Yes, sir. Well, all religions were started by some man, and the starter of it was Muhammad or Confucius or Hindu religion. They're dead. But there's one religion, the founder was resurrected. They don't even claim it. Christianity is different because our founder was Jesus, and he rose himself from the dead. Christianity different and makes it the religion, not just a religion. And even our calendars date from the birth of Christ, well, approximately, you know, they don't maybe know exactly, but it's AZ and BC, but they hate Christ so much here in America that they don't even use AD and BC anymore because it refers to Christ. They use CE, common era, because AD means from the birth of Christ in Latin. I don't need to quote it, but at any rate, we are different. That is the difference, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the apostles and his early followers laid down their lives because they claimed that Jesus appeared to them for 40 days and taught them, and they would not deny it, and it cost them their lives, including Thomas went to India, and the oldest continual church is still there that Thomas started in India. Apostle Thomas, one of the 12 original. And we are therefore not a religion. We are the religion. It's not being braggadocious. It's not being arrogant. It's just stating facts. It's not bragging. There's a difference between stating facts and bragging. And that's what we're doing. So that our founder was Christ, and he changed the world. Down to the present day. And as the brother talked about, the millions and millions of Christians all over the world, down to this very day because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh,
praise God, brother.
Thank you for this
Daniel.
Opportunity, brother. appreciate it, brother Emmanuel.
No problem. Listen, we're getting ready to go, get off this broadcast, but I want to open up for each of you to be able to, if you had to leave someone who is listening right now for the first time, for the 15th time, the 100th time, if you had to leave one thing with them that you could tell them, if you never talk to them again, if they never listen again, if you had to leave one thing with them, what would it be? I'm going to start with you, Brother Tom, and then we'll end with you, Brother Daniel. Brother Tom?
Well, I'd leave that that God has, through the years and generations, revealed himself to man. And if you have a question or something that you do not understand, God will indeed reveal himself to you. And if you do not understand the Bible, pray and ask God for understanding. I leave you with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And also I leave with you 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. And don't die without knowing Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Tom. Brother Daniel?
Yes. Well, Jesus or God loves you and wants you to be saved, not go to hell, but to go to heaven, and to give your heart and life to the Lord and serve him the best you can understand. You don't have to understand the whole Bible to go to heaven. Thank God for that. But if you give him, repent of your sins, say, Lord, forgive me, and I trust you and believe in you, Jesus. You died on the cross for my sins so that I could be saved and not go to hell, but go to heaven. And if you'll do that, you will, and live for him till either the Lord comes or you leave this world, because everybody's going to one way or the other. And that would be my word to anybody and everybody on planet Earth. Jesus loves you. Repent of your sins, give your heart and life to the Lord, and go to heaven. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Thank you for sharing your time tonight with us. We appreciate you calling in and providing insight to the people. And I just also want to thank Brother Tom, Brother Kevin, and Rev Murphy for joining us this evening. It has been such a blessing. I'd like to thank you, listener, for calling in. If you want to call in and you just chickened out, that's okay. Listen, we have an email address. Email us at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN, @gmail.com. And you can send your question, your comment, or your prayer request, and we will respond as soon as we can. I'd also like to thank all of our dedicated listeners around the world. I know that this broadcast goes all over the world. If we just get one person listening in somewhere in another country, in another state or city, I think we've done our job. And so for Brother Daniel and Brother Kevin and Brother Tom, and for Rev Murphy and myself, we like to say, may God bless you, and may God keep you, may God go with you. In Jesus' name. God bless you, Brother Daniel. Love you.
One time, one time, one time, one time. gift, gonna have it back. You fill me with love, so I'll give it back to you. You give me my husband, you know I love him. And I'll